Can say there's a big difference when Jesus passed by. Amen. All right, come on there, guys. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2. Thank you. Watch me when I'm walking up here. Amen. Let's everybody get our Bibles now and open, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. We'll take just a few minutes this evening. I also want to remind you, don't forget, Wednesday night, we're having our kids' Bible class. Now, they're learning their parts for the youth rally, so it's important that all the kids be here. Teenagers and everybody. Wednesday night. Then, Saturday, we're going visiting. Lord willing, Saturday morning, 9:30. We had a good crowd on visitation yesterday, and some of y'all need to come out, help. It do you good. It do you good. Saturday's my only day. I know, you do it Saturday evening. Do something Saturday. But make time for the Lord. You make it for other stuff. So make time for the Lord. And come, go visit with us Saturday morning at 9:30. God will bless you for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a very, very well-known verse here that I want to use. Maybe in a way, maybe you've not heard it before. And try to give you what's on my heart. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That word miserable. Boy, that describes a lot of people today, don't it? Miserable. I don't know if it means anything for sure, but you see right in the middle of that word miser. Miserable. I know some people that are miserable, don't you? Hogging all the time. Like a miser is miserable. Miserable. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the five most miserable men in town. The most miserable men in town. And some of them might be here today. One or two of them. Maybe all of them. Who are the most miserable men in this town this morning? The word miserable means unhappy. There's more than five, ain't there? Uncomfortable. There's more than 500. Unfortunate. There's more than 5,000. Miserable people. It seems like that we've got more, that we own more, that we go more, that we do more than we've ever done, and yet are more miserable than we've ever been. There's a reason for that. Miserable. Miserable men. I want to go, first of all, and say the most miserable man in town is the man who is dominated by self. Who's dominated by self. Listen carefully. We're living in a generation that makes you think that the whole world is supposed to revolve around you. And that your needs and your wants and your petty desires are the most important thing in the world. And that you getting what you want comes before anything or anybody. Isn't that the message you hear? Help me out, fellas. Isn't that the message you hear coming through TV, psychiatry, psychology? They're saying just do what makes you happy. After all, you being happy is the most important thing. I had people tell me, Danny, you deserve to be happy. I don't know how many people told me that in life. You deserve to be happy. You know, that ain't really true. I don't deserve to be happy. You know what I deserve? Same thing y'all deserve. I deserve to be in hell this morning. But God's been good and merciful. But we're in a generation that feels like we deserve this. We're entitled. Oh, you hear so much about that. I deserve this. I deserve that. As a matter of fact, I know some people that if they could get a divorce from their self, they might could live happily with somebody else. But they're absolutely, I was up in Kentucky preaching, and the motel was here, and there was a gym right beside it, a big, big exercise gym. And the preacher told me, he said, now Danny, you're staying here all week, you can go over and exercise for free. And I said, okay. I said, I'm not really into lifting. Do I look like a weightlifter? I said, I'm not really into weights and stuff like that, but I'll go over there. I said, I run around it because I'd rather run outside than inside. I don't like running when you ain't going nowhere. And I like to see the scenery and throw rocks at dogs and scare people and stuff. But anyway, I went over there. And I got on them things, and you've heard me tell before, I never seen such contraption. They looked like a tricycle turned upside down. It looked like, some of them looked like, honestly looked like a commode or something with handles on the side of it. And I thought, I got on one, and I was trying to figure out where to put my feet and which way to put my head. And some lady said, your head's supposed to go up here. Shut up. I know where my head's supposed to go. I didn't know which way to sit on that thing. But I started looking, and I was messing with them, and I just went from one to the other, the other, the other, the other, trying to figure out what they was. And I said, you know you don't have to have all that stuff. You know, you come over to my house, and I can help you get you some cross ties, and you can move them all day and put the landscaping around my yard, and you don't even have to pay me to let you do that. And it'll build your muscles up. And cut some trees, and I got a job for anybody that wants it. That's seen me at service. But anyway, I got to noticing. And I got to noticing that that place was full of mirrors. That whole wall right there was nothing but mirrors. They didn't have a TV up there, and it was mirrors. And these guys were sitting on these things like that, you know, pedaling like a bicycle. And I thought, why would they have so many mirrors in there? It hit me. There were people in there admiring themselves. That's what they was doing. I've seen them. These guys over there doing like this. And the whole time staring at themselves. I said, that is a good picture of our generation. Ain't I pretty? Look at me. I'm bigger than him. I'm better. Now listen, ain't nothing wrong being in shape. And some of y'all need to get on the ball. But I'm going to tell you something. A person that all they think about is being dominated by themselves is a miserable person. miserable person. You're not happy. That ain't gonna make you happy. You're like that little boy that said there's two guys on that, one of them little ponies at Walmart where you put a quarter in them and you ride it for a minute and they're pushing each other. And he said, if one of us would get off here, I could ride it a whole lot better. That's our generation right there. It's me first, everybody else next. A man who is dominated by self. You know, be yourself is the worst advice you can give some people. That's the worst thing you can tell a lot of people. Be yourself. Lord, you better hope they don't. We ought to be what the Lord wants us to do because self ain't always right. I'll tell you, it's the desires of the flesh. I heard of a teacher who took their students on a little field trip. And she took all these like second graders, you know, and she took all these little kids on this field trip and they went and saw this mountain and they saw stuff like stalactites and stalagmites and stuff and they showing them up how water formed here and this and that and the other. And she said, now, does anybody have any questions? Anybody have any? And this one little girl raised her hand and said, I do. She said, what is it, honey? And she said, do you like my new shoes? Do you like my new shoes? That's a picture of human nature right there. That whole time, while they was learning, that little girl was thinking, I have on new shoes. I have new shoes. Did you see my new shoes? Now that's not wrong, but it's a picture of human nature. When it comes right down to it, it's just me, I. Can I get an amen right there? Isn't that what's wrong with the place where you work? Everybody just trying to make yourself happy. Isn't that wrong with a lot of our problems in our home? Isn't that wrong with your kids? You got kids, you see it. You see it. And when it comes right down to it, me first, him next. It's in our nature. And the most miserable man in town is the man who's dominated by self. I got thinking yesterday, you know, this week, Lord have mercy, I was in church every night this week except for Tuesday. Well, I went to camp meeting Monday night, and then Wednesday night we was here. Thursday night we took some group folks and went down to Frankie's camp meeting down in South Carolina. Man, it was great. Lord have mercy, it was wonderful. I'm telling you, old-fashioned shouting service. John Mitchell preached, and it was good. It was good. And I played ball Tuesday night, and we went down there. Here, church Wednesday night, there Thursday night, and then Friday night, I'd preach down in Mooresville at the camp meeting down there. And we had another shouting hallelujah time. And after I got through preaching, I was soaking wet. It was hot in that church. I'm telling you, I was wore out. And we sat there, I seen some preachers I ain't seen in many years. We sat down there and talked, and the ladies had barbecue and hush puppies and something, I don't know what it was. There was a whole bunch of stuff just mixed up together. Goulash. And we had some of that, and had pecan pie, and had all kind of stuff like that. We sat there and had fellowship, and I got to thinking, you know, I thought, you know what? I am happier when I'm doing something for somebody than when I was playing ball the other night. And I enjoyed playing ball, I loved to. But I'm telling you, I got a deeper satisfaction on bus route yesterday than I did playing ball. I really did. You know, we was out there knocking on doors, me and my deacons back there, and raising back there, deacons on the back row. There's one, there's the other. And we was knocking on doors yesterday, and we went from house to house to house to house, and we saw people that just live for themselves. 11:30, 12 o'clock. No. 15 to 12. Okay, I hear somebody coming. They're here. The door open. Yeah, that's somebody living with himself. 15 to 12! My daddy, if he saw you at 8 o'clock in the morning, he'd say, what'd you do for dinner? He used to always say that all the time. And they come to the door, 15 to 12! And the guy opened it up and I said, somebody, there's a kid here. He said, who you're looking for is her. And he knew. He just moved in. And there was somebody else there a few weeks ago. And this old
girl come to the door and she come to look like, I mean, boy, I thought, man, don't y'all look happy. Don't y'all look happy. And I hate to say that, but they look miserable. They look miserable. Where's the kids? I don't know, social services took them. Where's that? And everything all out of whack. Everything all to pieces. Everything always going wrong. Going to court, fussing and fighting. Always mad, upset about something. That's a picture of people that are dominated by self. If you just live for yourself, you're not going to be a happy person. You're going to be a miserable person. I'm telling you, give a little bit. Give a little bit. Give like we did a while ago. Give you money. Give you time. Go help somebody. Visit a rest home. Get into a jail. Go find somebody that needs help. And just sit down and talk to them. And put your arm around them. Tell them you love them. And pray with them. Don't just be me. I won't tell you. You ain't that. You know why you can't do that? Because your flesh can't be satisfied. The more it gets, the more it wants. And the more it has, the more it desires. Give, and God will bless you, and you won't be a miserable man. Amen. Number two, all these men may not get to get talked about today. Number two, the second miserable man in Morganton this morning is the man who is deceived by Satan. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 talks about evil men and seducers shall wax worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's an amazing verse of Scripture. Because it says, while they're out here deceiving you, they themselves are being deceived. When the man tells you, hey, you can take this and you'll feel good, you can shoot this and it'll make you happy, while he's deceiving the girl or the boy into taking the drugs, the devil is at the same moment deceiving that guy, making him think he's getting somewhere, making some easy money in his life. The truth is, they're both being miserable, deceived by the devil. They're deceived as to the way of salvation. That guy I told you about answered the door in that trailer a minute ago. I said, we're from Shining Light Baptist Church. And he said, I don't talk much about religion. He said, I got other beliefs. And I said, okay, well, the Lord loves you. He cares about you. He said, I don't know about all that. And I said, well, you mean you don't believe? He said, well, I don't know. I said, you're in between. He said, yeah. I said, that's an agnostic. Somebody believes everything is a believer, and somebody don't believe nothing is an atheist, and everything in between there is what you call agnostic. That means it might be true and it might not be. And I said, so you're agnostic, huh? And he said, well, I just don't talk about religion. Turn around and walked off like that. He's deceived as the way of salvation. And I thought, man, isn't that pitiful? Isn't it pitiful this morning that people don't even know how good God is? Did y'all realize this morning that probably 80% of the people in this county don't even realize how good it feels in here this morning and what a blessing we've got? I mean, really, have no idea. They think church is boring. They think church is, I hate church. I don't want to go in there and just get fussed at and somebody tell me what to do. That's not it at all. We're having fun. We're enjoying this. We're rejoicing. We're saved. Did you see these people up here a while ago? Raising their hand. They ain't bored. We're not miserable. I was preaching the other night and Lord, I'd preach my throat out. And I said, and finally, and there's a couple of them over here hollering, don't quit now. Bring it on. Preacher, and I'm going to tell you something, brother. Church don't have to be boring. Church don't have to be dead. Life don't have to be boring. You can be happy, but you'll never be happy letting the devil deceive you. That's right. Never will. Never will. Let me remind you this morning, most people are deceived by Satan. Do you realize in the next 30 minutes in this country, 29 young people will attempt suicide? In the next 30 minutes in this country, 57 young people will run away from home. Every 30 minutes. That means while we've been here this morning, probably over 150 teenagers have run away in this country. You know why? Deceived by Satan. They watch MTV, they see stuff on there and they think, I could be happy if it wasn't for my old mean parents. I can be happy if I don't have to just keep these stupid rules and clean up my room and go to school. I'm going to run off out there where I can be happy. You're deceived by the devil, kid. That stuff ain't going to make you happy. Read your Bible. Read the story of the prodigal son. He got out there and had it all. Come back crying one day after he lost everything. 14 teenage girls in the next 30 minutes will have illegitimate babies in this country. Every day there are 4,400 abortions. 30% of all the babies conceived in America never see the light of day. Their mom or their boyfriend pays for a doctor to kill it so they won't have to raise it. Do you honestly think that makes a person happy? Have you ever heard the testimonies? I knew of a girl several years ago who came to our church, and she got right with the Lord, and she would sit right on the second row. And she's about 15 or 16, cheerleader at the high school. Her friends were there. Her friends sit with her. And then when I would preach, they'd just sit there and go like this. I mean, just eat it up. I mean, just, you could tell the innocence on their face, just smile and happy. Well, one Sunday she came in, and she didn't come to Sunday school, and she come and she had something stuck on her arm. Big old something, I don't know what it was. And she thought that was her boyfriend. And she come in with that thing. He wouldn't come all the way up here. He wanted to sit in the very back. He wanted to come late and leave early. You know, them kind of guys. And he'd sit back there like this. And I noticed that instead of looking at me going like this, like she just looked at him the whole time, the whole time. That's one of the most dangerous things that a young person can do is fall in love with somebody. You talk about messing up your life real quick. And there ain't no going back. Once something's done, it's done. That girl fell in love with that guy. He was a football player. Next thing you know, I got a phone call. Preacher, pray for my sister. That was this girl's little younger sister. She said, pray for her. I said, what's wrong? She said, well, she told him at school she's sick, and told him at school she's going to stay with her aunt for a few days. She's gone to Charlotte or somewhere today to have an abortion. She said she's 3 months pregnant, and she's gone to kill that baby and gone to have that baby killed. And after that, that girl was miserable. She had to walk around in the store every day. I mean, probably till this day, when she sees a woman with a little bitty baby and it kissing on her neck, she thinks, that could have been my baby. Don't you think that don't run through their head? Don't you think? I'm going to tell you something, girls. The devil will tell you that sinning will make you happy. The devil will tell you, live it up, shack up, sleep together, get drunk, get high. But it will not do it. The most miserable people in the world are the people that's listening and deceived by the devil. I know that ain't popular today, but it's true anyway. 685 young people in the next 30 minutes will try drugs of some sort. 188 will become an alcoholic or have a drinking problem every 30 minutes in this nation. Kids can't read, but they can remote. They can't tell you a mathematical problem, but some of them thumbs can run 900 miles an hour. On them. I was seeing this girl the other day, and she was texting somebody talking like this, carrying on one over here and one over here, just like that. The man that is deceived by Satan. Well, let me say quickly this morning, right quickly. The person, I'll just throw this in here and skip part of this. The man that's miserable this morning is the man that doubts his salvation. I've been pastoring a long time now, and I've met a lot of people that doubt their salvation. And that's an awful, miserable shape to get in. It happens most of the time to people that get saved when they're real little, and then when they grow up, they start having wicked, sinful desires, and so, or they hear somebody's testimony, and they say, well, it ain't like that with me. That didn't happen to me. And then the devil says, that's because you're not really saved. You didn't really get saved because you was little and young and didn't know what you was doing. And then the devil convinces them, and they don't read their Bible, and they don't pray, and they don't stay close to God. And the next thing you know, the devil wiggles into their heart. I'd say there's probably 100 like that in this room this morning. Once in a while, you'll just say, I don't even know if I'm really even saved or not, preacher. I don't really know if I really am. You say, well, Brother Danny, you don't know. Look, I'm made out of the same stuff y'all are. You say, have you doubted yours? Sure I have. Yes, I've doubted. I've doubted everything. I doubt if this is real. We might be dreaming right now. You know, you have doubts. You all have doubts. But your doubts are real short. And the way, do you know how I know I'm saved? Here's how I know I'm saved. You can put it real quick and simple. And this will help you. This will help you. I know I'm saved because of three things. I know I'm saved because of change. I know I'm saved because of charity. And I know I'm saved because of chastisement. You know how I know I'm saved? Because something changed in me the night I got saved. You honestly think I would have just up and decided to be a preacher? I would have been, if you'd had my high school class lined up right there, and back when I was a teenager and said, which one of them is going to be a preacher? They would not have picked me. I guarantee it. I wasn't the meanest kid in the class. I was next to the meanest, but I sure wasn't the best. And they'd have said, he'll never be a preacher. I never dreamed I'd be a preacher. This is the last thing I thought I'd do. Who in the world would want to be a preacher? But I'm telling you, something changed when I got saved. A change happens on the inside. Now when you're 5 years old and you never done nothing really wrong or anything, I understand. Like Kathy Clark, her testimony, she got saved when she was four. She said, I was on 4 bottles of milk a day when the Lord saved me. I mean, you ain't got no big testimony being on drugs or nothing like that. But I'm going to tell you something, people. There's something different inside when Jesus comes in your heart. So if you, and then I know because of charity. Charity. You have a heart for other people. Before I got saved, I didn't want to hurt nobody, but I sure didn't go on Saturday morning and go out and try to help people or give them money out of my pocket. I didn't do that. I know I'm saved because of stuff like that. And then I know I'm saved because of chastisement. When I do something wrong, the Lord whips me. Listen, if you're a real child of God, I tell you one of the sure ways you really know you're saved. You don't get away with nothing. Can I hear an amen? God will get you. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But one of these days you're going to go around the curve. Wham! And you're going to know deep in your heart, this is it. This is it. This is the Lord. Somebody said, how do you know when the Lord's whipping you? Ask me how I knew when my daddy was whipping me. He jerked me up out of a dead sleep at 11:30 in the night by my ankle and started beating me. You say, Danny, do you really believe you got a whipping? Yeah, I got one. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord whips you, you know it. Sometimes bad stuff just happens. It's just life. But there's other times when you know good and well, I know why this happened. I know why. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. I know God is. That's how I know I'm saved. Thank God for a good whipping once in a while. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I've even learned how to do that. When the Lord whipped me, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I need it. Whip me back in line. Put me back where I ought to be. Amen. That's how you know you're saved. You know how I know I'm saved? Because that Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if I had to die right now, everybody listen. I'm depending on what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross to get me to heaven. Plus, nothing. If I had to die right now, I wouldn't say, Lord, got my tie on. See it? I got my King James Bible. I'd say, Lord, remember the blood of Jesus, like we were singing a while ago. That's your ticket in. When I go fly on an airplane, I got to have that ticket. And without that ticket, you ain't going nowhere. If I walked up and I say, now, I'm a preacher and I'd like to get on this plane and fly to Florida. I'd say, get out of here, sir. We're going to call security on you. Do you have a ticket? Well, no, but I got a King James Bible. Good, I'm proud of you. Next. They don't care how good I've been. They don't care how much money I give away. They want one thing. Ticket. That's all they care about. And I say, here's my ticket. Yes, sir, Mr. Castle. You're in such and such seat back there. Get on. It don't matter what I've done or I ain't done. It don't matter how good I've been. It don't matter how bad I've been. If I got that ticket, I'm going on. Now, there's a lot of people don't believe that, but that's what that book says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The most miserable man in town is going around doubting his salvation. Preachers' kids do that a lot. Deacons, kids, people that's been raised in church all their life, the devil says, really, you're not really saved because the only reason you go to church is because your daddy, you know, that's a trick of the devil. You believe Jesus Christ died for your sins and you trust Him to get you to heaven? That's what the Bible says you got to do to go to heaven. It ain't because of what you feel. Lastly, I'll say this and I'm through.
The most miserable man in town is the man that is dead in sin. Dead in sin. That's what the Bible said we were before we got saved. D.L. Moody said this. He said, I can tell you in three sentences what it took me 42 years to learn. And if you listen, you won't hear it on TV much. You sure won't hear it at school, public school. But I can tell you in 3 minutes, he said, what it took me 42 years to learn. Number one, I can do nothing to save myself. Number two, God don't expect me to. Number three, Jesus did it all. It took that man 42 years to learn that. I talked to people yesterday that still don't know that. They say, we got to try to make it to heaven. We got to try to make it to heaven. We got to hang in there and try to live right and try to make it to heaven. I thought, how pitiful. These people 70 years old, still trying to make it to heaven. You learn this morning. You can't do nothing to get to heaven. Number two, God don't expect you to. Number three, Jesus did it for you. It's an insult to God to say, now I appreciate you dying on the cross and everything, but I think I got to do this and got to do this and got to do this before I'm saved. Uh-uh. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The most miserable man in town is the person who's dead in sin. I don't know who you are here this morning, what you've done, what kind of mess you're in. But I know one thing. You don't have to stay miserable. You don't have to stay miserable. A little song used to say, happiness is to know the Savior, living life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Don't be a miserable man. Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed, eyes closed, every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed,